Hey, welcome back to episode 188 of the Guardian Project podcast. And I'm your cacophony scamp, Andy.
And I'm your mesmerizing dose of Mike Coyle.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast about Commander,
our favorite Magic the Gathering format. And this week, we are talking about Phyrexia All Will Be One. A lot of really good, impactful cards here for Commander, and we are going to talk about those and some combos from CommanderSpellbook.com.
I really do like... I didn't like our set review episodes until we changed them a couple sets ago.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Condensed versions?
Condensed. Nice. Just picking a few cards we like, a few commanders we like, mm-hmm. and then combos that are already probably in some of our decks.
Yeah.
Which is a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
But we do have a huge announcement. So a lot of you have already seen. If you're a patron, you've already heard. If you're in our Discord, you've already heard. But there's plenty of folks that are not in the social media online sphere. They don't live online constantly like we do.
Right,
so
right.
Good on you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
But we do have an announcement. Mm-hmm. I recently received a really great opportunity at work mm-hmm. that will help move my career forward. And unfortunately, it does require some additional travel, which is going to make my schedule a lot less flexible some weeks. It may be it may be fine some weeks. It may be really off other mm-hmm, weeks. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be working on some new implementations at work and getting more involved in things that will require me to be on the road and traveling. So because of that, mm-hmm. we had to make a really tough decision to end the show.
Yes.
So we thought about it and I said, well, do you want to find another co-host? Do we want to move to biweekly? What if we move to monthly? And it was like, it's not the same.
No.
You know, it wouldn't be the same. Mm-hmm. And we'd have to find a new dynamic. And it would just, so we said, we're in a very good place.
Mm-hmm.
We are happy with the show. Let's go ahead and just end on a happy note.
Absolutely.
So we're going to end on episode 190.
Yes,
so we're going to have a couple more weeks.
Yeah, so that's in 2 weeks. So the last episode will be released February 8th. And we're still going to stream up until February 9th. Will be our last stream, though. So we are going to also discontinue our Twitch stream of Commander gameplay. So hopefully you get to catch the stream that we have this week and the stream that we have on February 9th. And hopefully we'll still be releasing a couple YouTube videos of those streams a couple weeks after that. But then
that's it. And it's not like we couldn't just come on and record an episode in a couple months.
Sure.
You know, I mean, my schedule may allow.
Who
so
knows?
It's not going to be potentially forever, but it's definitely going to be in a couple of weeks. Work is going to ramp up for some projects. So
mm-hmm.
It's sad. It's bittersweet. But
yes.
I did need to, you know, maybe shift some focus there. But we do have some good news that our Discord it's not going away.
No, it's still open.
Open. It's been open to patrons. It's been open to the public. But patron channels are going to be switched over to just public channels.
Yes, unlocked.
Unlocked. So everybody will, you know, have access to the Patron League. I know mm-hmm. we just started that. It's just so funny because it was like we had this whole thing planned for a whole year. But I unfortunately got this news at my annual review.
Mm-hmm.
So and that came up very fast. I didn't expect to be doing as much travel, to be perfectly honest.
Sure.
But I took it. So the leagues are going to continue.
Yes.
Chris has already made some announcements in the Discord that those are going to continue. So everybody can sign up and join those. I think there's a couple of like reaction things that you need to do. I know Chris is mm-hmm, working on mm-hmm. me. If you're listening to the show now, I think some of those places are public, but they're still working out some of the kinks because there's just programming involved and making sure you get assigned the roles and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
so that is happening.
So yeah,
but we've got 2 more weeks. We're not done yet.
We do. We're not. We're still here to bring you great Magic the Gathering content about Commander.
About Commander.
So this year, we do also have the Year of the Rabbit. So we're going to get some promotion here for the Asia specific stores. They'll have their
Asia
Pacific stores. Specifically
the Asia-Pacific stores.
We'll have their second APAC league that includes rabbit-themed promos. 2021 was the Year of the Ox when we got Minotaurs, the your legendary creature commander, right?
Yeah, there was an awesome Sethron that had some awesome Minotaur tokens. There was actually quite a few. Tangarth was one of them.
Oh, there was
Yeah, there was like a bunch. And then last year was mm-hmm. Year of the Tiger, and there were a bunch of cat promos. So I know there was like Jedi of Frava. I don't know how to pronounce the name. But this year we're getting rabbit promos. Yes. The first one is Rabbit Battery, and they're all with like really unique art of rabbits.
I was afraid I didn't scroll down quite yet because it also says food token and we're talking about rabbits, but the rabbits are eating.
They're eating salad. Yes. Salad.
It's salad food tokens.
Salad here. Food. Yes. And then Queen Inuit Meddler is the second season.
Yes. And season three, they have Swiftfoot boots. Very
season
cute.
Four is ethereal armor. And it's very, what is this? Okay. It's the store from when we were kids and like you could get trapper keepers and like pencil boxes by with like this color.
The book fair thing?
No, but it's like, it was...
Like a Michaels or
no, not the producer, the brand of
Five Star.
No,
I don't know. No. Steno notebooks.
No, like it was the brightly colored stuff that a lot of girls had. They're and I can't think of the actual brand. Anyway, that's what it reminds me of. I guess I should have thought about this.
In the championship season, we have an Arcbound Ravager, which seems a little bit, not rabbit like, but yeah, no, that Arcbound Ravager in that artwork there is definitely a rabbit. So you know, sacrifice all your artifacts to your rabbit and make it super big.
Super big. So yeah, lots of announcements, but go listen to our previous episodes.
Yes, please do. We have 188 as of the one releasing today. Two more to go. Go back and listen to all of them. If you don't want to hear me, listen to the first 20.
And if you want to hear me, listen to all but, I guess, episode 20.
Except episode 20.
Except episode 20. But you can find all that stuff still online, guardianprojectpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitch, Guardian Project Podcast. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're going to be on Twitter afterwards. I mean, like, that's not going... We'll still occasionally just chime in and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then our YouTube channel is still going to be up, Guardian Project. And then you can still email us. So if you have anything, though, that you want us to say or cover in the last couple of weeks, email us. Please, honestly, email us. Send us a direct message on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. But I think it's time for us all to be one. So Phyrexia All Will Be One is coming out just a couple of weeks here. Mm-hmm. And the set's been previewed and we're going to chat about it.
Yes.
And there's a lot of new cards in the set that are really great.
Very, very good.
I was so disinterested in the Phyrexian storyline that when they did the announcement of all the sets coming out, I was one of those few people that was like, great, let's just skip to Throne and Ixalan.
Sure. That makes sense.
Because there were a lot of people that were like, can we just skip all of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's been going on since Kaldheim, right?
We had the Brothers War and then Dominaria United Brothers War, this, the aftermath. It was like all artifact-y stories that I was honestly very disinterested in.
Sure.
I'm way more interested after reading the stories, which we're not going to spoil here, but there are a few videos. You can go watch some summaries if you're not into reading written media. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good story.
I'm excited to listen to those medias because I'm not a reader.
Some of them were rushed and there were some planeswalkers that were completed out of the story entirely. Yes. So you don't even find out about them.
I was excited to hear about one of them.
But before we do that, before we go through everything, let's talk about these planeswalkers that were completed.
Yeah.
Because I know we have it on here as an item, but it's a really good segue right now.
Sure, that's fair.
So we guessed, and I had originally tweeted that I thought Kaito, Kaya, Nahiri, Tyvar, and Vraska were going to be the planeswalkers that were completed. But I was wrong. You also thought that Jace was completely untouchable.
Yeah, I thought Jace was like Magic's, you know, face or whatever. Jace the face. And I thought he was untouchable.
You know, Jace the face.
But Jace, it turns out Jace was very touchable.
It was Jace, Vraska, Nissa, Nahiri, and Luca. And I don't know why I honestly didn't guess Luca, because Luca's just the worst. But I should have guessed Luca, because it was like...
Because then there's, if you're wrong, it's like, I guess you're disappointed. No, I think it's better this way, because now you're not disappointed.
Because now I'm not, because it was like, I already wanted your story. Yeah. And he was kind of a jerk in every story
It's like he's the anti-hero every time, always accidentally siding with the bad guys, or on purpose siding with the bad guys.
And almost immediately siding with the bad guys in stories. So, but these planeswalkers, we finally have some completed planeswalkers in mono color, which is cool, and I like them a lot.
Strong.
But I got Luca wrong. You got Luca right. I think you immediately were like, Luca's going to be a planeswalker.
At least I hope so.
And then a completed planeswalker.
I didn't expect two planeswalkers from the same plane to like both of them to make it out alive. I thought it would at least make a really good story dynamic if either Kaito or the Wanderer became completed and had to deal with that. But nope, they're both safe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of not mad about it, though.
Although, okay, the Phyrexian artwork concept art for Kaito, I think is awesome, though, because they turn him into a robot spider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about new mechanics. The first new mechanic is Toxic. Mm-hmm. It's a keyword ability on creatures, and when a creature with Toxic deals damage to a player, they get a number of poison counters on, I guess, that player gets a number of poison counters equal to that Toxic value. So it would say, like, Toxic 1 or Toxic 2 or Toxic 6. Mm-hmm. So one example is Mirror Convert, a 2/1 Phyrexian Mirror for 2 generic mana, and it has Toxic 1, so whenever it deals damage, that player gets 1 poison counter. So it's 2 actual damage, 1 point. So it's 3 all. You get it. That's all. Right.
You can do lifelink on a Toxic creature.
You can. And it also has tap, pay 2 life, you add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. So Toxic is, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
There's already discussion online that's chatting about whether or not Infect should be more than 10. Still don't think it is.
No.
In 1v1, it's 10. In 1v3, I think it should still be 10.
Mm-hmm.
People say 20, but there's actually 3 extra players and not just 1 extra player.
That's true.
So should it be like 13?
No.
No.
Just 10.
14? No, I like it at 10. Yeah. We're going to leave it at 10. Mm-hmm. And Finn the Fang Bear got a couple of new cards in this
it's
set.
It's true.
Ambassador
Blurpy Blurp Poop got a couple cards in this
got
set.
Got a couple new cards.
I do want to say, I ran into this when I was brewing with one of the cards from this set. The wording is actually total toxic value, because you can give toxic to something that already has toxic and you take the sum. I came into that well brewing. Maybe you have too.
I feel like, and this is just thinking out loud, I feel like that almost works the same way as Exalted, because if you give Exalted to an Exalted creature, it is double Exalted. It does have Exalted. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of, this reminds me of that.
Very much so. All right, so the next one is Corrupted. It's an ability word variant on Threshold. A Threshold cares about number of card types in your graveyard, but it's something that can be turned on at a certain point during the game.
Just the number, sheer number of cards in your graveyard.
Yes.
Threshold just wants, the other one?
Delirium
wants card types.
Of. Yes. Yes. So this one, if one of your opponent has 3 or more poison counters, you do get an extra ability here. And for example, we have Apostle of Invasion. It's a 4/4 flyer for 4 white for Phyrexian Angel with the corrupted ability of, as long as an opponent has 3 or more poison counters, Apostle of Invasion has double strike. And there's a lot of good, really good ones out there too. I mean, double strike, don't get me wrong, that's good, but there's a lot of really good corrupted triggers out there too.
Yes. Next is a keyword for equipment in the set called For Mirrodin.
Exclamation mark.
Point? Do you say mark?
I said exclamation mark.
I think I've always said exclamation point.
Yeah. They're both acceptable.
I think
they're
the same thing.
We use the same punctuation in 2 different ways. Wow. Look at us.
Wow. We are so cultured. It also has, so for Mirrodin, and it says when those equipment enter the battlefield, you make a 2/2 rebel and attach that equipment to it. So it's almost like the germ tokens, but instead of making a 0/0 germ and then putting the equipment on that, you're making a 2/2, red rebel. And it gets, so it's almost like that snap-on equipment we talked about.
Absolutely.
But you're creating a creature. And I like this more.
Yeah.
It's snap-on with a body. Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of them, I'll say, have pretty high mana cost on the equip.
Yeah.
But hey, when it comes snap-equipped, who cares?
Who cares?
Oil counters is the last brand new mechanic in this set. It's a type of counter that can go on any type of permanent that can do a lot of different things by adding counter, or you add counters when things happen and remove counters when you activate abilities or at your upkeep. There's
It'll be like remove an oil counter, you get to do this. Remove 2 oil counters, draw a card. It reminds me of those, you know, old counters, like hour counters or training counters, plague counters, things like that. It's just like it adds flavor to the plane.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
They're all like charge counters.
Yeah.
They're it's just doing
I think
something
I think charge counters honestly is like the closest one. because there's a lot of permits out there. You know, remove a charge counter at your upkeep when it has none. You sacrifice it. Same thing with oil. Yeah, no, that's exactly. That's good.
But returning mechanics, we're getting proliferate back. When you proliferate, you choose any number of permanents and players that has a counter on them, and you give them each another type of each counter on them. So if you have a creature with plus one counter, you get another plus one counter. Planeswalkers, loyalty abilities, yeah.
You can't, if you do target a permanent, you can't choose to only proliferate one of the types of counters it on it, each. Though. You got to do them all.
Got to do them all.
Another returning mechanic is a battle cry. It is a mechanic that says when the creature that has battle cry attacks, each other attacking creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn.
I don't think it's on a ton. It's just like a callback. So I think it's... I might only be on like one card, actually. I think that's the Riva Ivor Bane of
Bladehold.
Yeah, it's not back in a. It's like it's not a main mechanic.
No, but I mean it would work. I mean there's a token sub strategy here that it definitely belongs.
Yeah, Phyrexian Mana is back on activated abilities and on the completed Planeswalkers. So you can either pay 2 life or you can pay 1 of whatever Phyrexian colored mana that is. To cast or activate abilities, to cast spells or activate abilities.
We have Affinity back that allows your spells to cost less equal to the number of artifacts you control.
And then finally, Flashback is coming back, but it's like alongside the Corrupted mechanic. It's not actually Flashback, but the card Viral Spawning has Corrupted. As long as an opponent has 3 or more poison counters and Viral Spawning's in your graveyard, it has Flashback of 2 and a green. So it's like
it counts.
It definitely counts because it has Flashback, but it's not like printed on the card. And in the set, just a few other things. There is a new land type of sphere introduced, like on the card, the Seed Core. So it's a land sphere, taps for colorless specifically, or 1 mana of any color only to cast Phyrexian creature spells. And then it has Corrupted. So if an opponent has 3 or more poison counters, you can tap it and target 1/1 creature gets +2/+1 till end of turn.
Spheres. There's a sphere for every monocolor as well that come in tapped, and you can tap them and sacrifice to draw a card. So I think there's at least 7 sphere lands that they printed. I assume it's 9 because of that one card out there that cares about controlling 9 lands.
We had gotten a Phyrexian Gate.
Well, that would be pretty cool.
Keep the gates coming.
Gate to Phyrexia? Wait, isn't that a card? No. So there's going to be a new card type that was just kind of spoiled to us called Battle, which is referenced on Atraxa Grand Unifier as a teaser for an upcoming set. So it asks you to look at the top 10 cards of your library and put any number of cards of different types, and it specifically lists Battle as one of the cards.
Yeah,
it
reminds me of Niv-Mizzet Reborn, but only in 4 colors. Yeah, so like true. Not as cool, and it's not from Ravnica, so again, still not as cool.
Hey, this Atraxa might be on Ravnica now.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. What do you think Battle is? I wonder if it's just... some people are saying it could be a rebranding of a different card type.
Mm-hmm.
It could be...
I think it's going to be World Enchantments.
Oh.
Yeah, so your Concordant Crossroads is going to be a battle card or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow. We do have a new creature type this set, a Mite, like Skrelv, Deflector Mite, which is a 1/1 Phyrexian Mite for 1 white mana. It has Toxic 1, and it cannot block. And then it has Phyrexian White. You can tap it and choose a color. Another creature you control gains Toxic 1 and Hexproof from that color until end of turn. It can't be blocked by creatures of that color this turn, which is another 1-mana commander. And we have ranked 1-mana commanders.
It's true.
And I feel like looking at this one, I would probably put it a little higher on the list. It's very high. Interesting and feels like this is built to scream, play me, commander players.
Oh, yeah.
Play me. I want you to play a Toxic in your... You don't have to have Toxic in on any card.
You do not.
It gives Toxic, and I love commanders that give the set's mechanic to other things.
So for sure you're playing this in like your Niambi deck and stuff?
I should. So I talked about it. I want to change that to a deck where I just shuffle 75 legendaries together, and Skrelv would absolutely be in it. And it will be this basic set artwork, not the alt artwork.
Sure.
I like this one because he's so cute. Yeah. He's just biting on someone's little fingies.
Someone asks you if you have Skrelv in your pile for Niambi, you have to respond with, I might. Sorry, had to do it. And we're also getting the Universes Beyond Street Fighter cards being printed in here. So if you're looking to pick up the Street Fighter cards in the Universes Within version of them, those are going to be printed in the set boosters. And I think they come in collector boosters too.
If you are like me, I like the in-universe ones a lot more. That's just me. And it's funny because it's like, this is another, if you love it, you love it, or mm-hmm. you hate it, you hate it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Mental Misplay. Alan had tweeted, I can't believe there's people that like in-universes versions. And I replied and I was like, it's okay to be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll say I like the in-universe version of the Stranger Things cards more than the in-universe versions of Street Fighter. But it's only because like Zangief is really cool to me. And I don't know. Zangief, the Russian wrestler.
Yeah. I didn't pick up the Street Fighter set, but if I open set boosters, I will actually get copies of them here. So let's talk about a few of our favorite cards. I usually like to try to pick cards that aren't just mythics, like, because there's usually a lot. But this set, there were so many cards, and we had to limit it. And mm-hmm. usually we limit it because Mike can't choose.
Yeah, because I break the rules.
Yeah, Mike breaks the rules. Yeah. But here, I honestly had like at one point I had like a list of nine, and I was like, no, it has to go down.
I was writing things on the set booster exclusive cards accidentally, and yeah, no, we had a lot. We had a lot that we had to parse down.
So the card that I think I'm honestly most excited about to put into a deck that I don't play that often, which I think is why it's so funny that this is my favorite card from the set, is Vraska, Betrayal Sting. Mm-hmm. So this is a legendary planeswalker, but Vraska has been completed, and she costs 4 and a black and Phyrexian black. So 6 mana or 5 mana and 2 life, mm-hmm. which I might probably do that one.
Yeah, probably.
It has completed. So if you cast it and you spend mana, it enters with 2 loyalty counters less, but she would enter with 6. But if you spend 2 life and you pay less, she'll enter with 4. Yeah. And 3 abilities. You draw a card and lose a life for 0, but you also proliferate. Mm-hmm. So it's like a +1, and I really like that design.
Oh, yeah.
-2, target creature becomes a treasure artifact with tap and sacrifice this artifact. You get 1 mana of any color. So that's cool. And this is forever. It's not till end of turn. Just becomes a treasure.
I thought on Oko, this is a plus that turns it into an elk. Why is this minus on this card? I don't understand.
I know. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that you're like, why did you got jilted here? You didn't get to get
this. This is an amazing ability, but why is it weaker than all the other ones?
Oko's food, at least. But and then -9, if target player has fewer than 9 poison counters, they get a number of poison counters equal to the difference.
Nice.
I don't know if I'll ever do that, but in my Joda Super Friends, I feel like I'm just going to use the 0 here, which is fine. Draw a card, lose a life, and put a loyalty counter on each planeswalker I have. If I play Vraska and then a Deepless Gate, I actually would actually mine it.
And like, a Chain Veil. That way you can just proliferate immediately afterward and win the game.
Against one person.
Doesn't it do...
If target player.
Oh.
So it's target, but if you are Chain Veiling and Deep Glow Skating on a bunch of planeswalkers, you might still just win with
probably
a different...
Most likely.
You know, but you could have like Phyrexian. Nicol Bolas Dragon God,
yeah, do it twice.
Who has the ability of Vraska, and then do them twice. That'd be fun. I'm excited about this Vraska. I think it's a fantastic design. And I also like that the completed planeswalkers have art that is like in the same pose as a previous card that they had, but now
that's
they're Phyrexianized and they have
cool.
like weird metal tentacles and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember I saw the picture of Luca and people mentioned that, and I'm like, Luca literally looks the same in every picture. It's him, animal. It's right to his right.
Him and a big old beast.
Yeah. Is it a wolf? Is it a beast? Who knows? All right. My first card here from the set. I also I only picked all rares, no mythics in mine. But all rares, because the set is bonkers. I picked a 3 mana artifact that could be a mana rock called Mirren Safehouse. 3 generic mana, an artifact that says as long as Mirren Safehouse is on the battlefield, it has all activated abilities of all land cards in all graveyards. So just right off the bat, I'm thinking like utility lands, like the lands that make it so your creatures can't be blocked, like Rogue's Passage or Access Tunnel, Kessig Wolf Run to give Trample, Cabal Coffers if you just want a lot of mana. These don't even necessarily need to be your lands. They could be in your opponent's graveyard. So it's indicative of a mill strategy.
All of the castles that have activated abilities. I like Shire, she's, yeah, you can give a creature fear.
Mm-hmm.
This card is cool.
I like it, honestly, for the fetch land, because you can use it as a pseudo fetch land for like a landfall deck in black white. My black white landfall deck, I don't have a whole lot of fetch land, so Mirren Safehouse is another fetch land for me.
This is fetch land at home.
But if you do play like a fetch land package in your Ozgear the Reconstructor deck or something, this would be a great way to send it to your graveyard. Then you can get two copies of it with Ozgear and then send both of them to your graveyard and ramp three lands with it with a 3-mana artifact spell.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I like Mondrak Glory Dominus as well.
Yeah.
For 2WW, you get a 4/4 legendary Phyrexian Horror. That is Anointed Procession Plus. It says if one or more tokens would be created under your control, twice that many tokens are created instead. This can be your planeswalker like Aedrix and Dev Twin Casters, but it also has pay one and then Phyrexian White. So 3 mana or 1 and 4 life.
Mm-hmm.
You can sack 2 other artifacts or creatures and put an indestructible counter on Mondrak Glory Dominus.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
It's a very strong card.
It's the same price currently as Anointed Procession and can be your commander and can just be another Anointed Procession.
Yeah, sure can.
And I was curious to see what your thought on it as a commander is, because last time I think it was, quote, boring design and I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I say that and Aedrix and Nev are in my decks, right? It's an extremely strong card and I'm going to play it where I can. Every deck that I have Anointed Procession in, Mondrak Glorious Dominus is going in the same deck. The indestructibility is really cool. It's more susceptible to some exile effects because it's a creature, but I don't care. I mean,
I don't care.
Yeah. And I have to sacrifice 2 creatures with this on the battlefield. That means I have one token. Yeah. I have to make 1 token. It doubles. Oh, now I have enough.
Yeah.
4 life, 1 mana, make it indestructible. It's extremely strong. I don't like the design of it as a legendary creature commander. I do think it's boring. I'm windmill slamming this in all of my token decks, though.
I'm pretty excited to play this card. I felt like this was a cop-out card putting it on here.
But, yeah.
But honestly,
I didn't mean that negatively.
No, I know. But I feel like this is a... it's just... If you didn't get your Anointed Processions and you want it as your commander now, this is a better option if you're looking to actually have it in the command zone.
Yeah, I hope there's enough different kinds of printings out there where one of them will make this card sneak below the $20 mark would be my dream come true. But
I doubt it, because as of right now, there's 4 versions of this card.
I mean,
the pack version is 40.
But the set's not out yet.
Sure, it'll be out in a couple. I don't expect this one to go down.
I can hope, Andy. I can hope.
All right, let's all hope with you.
Okay, perfect. All right, they printed another pretty cool clone spell in this deck. A very unique one, actually. And it's only for 3 mana, and that's why I really like it. It's called Blade of Shared Souls. For 2 and a blue, you get an equipment that has that new keyword we have for Mirrodin. So you're going to make a 2/2 red
exclamation
rebel.
Mark.
Exclamation mark. That's true. Or point. Whichever your pronunciation of the punctuation. So when the equipment enters, we're going to make that 2/2 red rebel creature token, and we're going to slap Blade of Shared Souls right onto it. Whenever Blade of Shared Souls becomes attached to a creature, for as long as Blade of Shared Souls remains attached to it, you may have that creature become a copy of another target creature you control and has equipped for 2. So like I said, this is a 3-mana clone spell is how I see it. A majority of clone spells out there are 4-mana spells. So being able to clone one of your own creatures for only 3 and actually having the upside of turning one of your creatures that maybe is a subpar creature clone at this point, and you equip it to it and turn it into something better. I know in my Ikra Shiddiqui and Sakashima of 1,000 Faces deck, I don't have a good way of turning Ikra Shiddiqui into anything else. And I never thought I ever had to, but man, having another old Gnawbone might be pretty cool. So I'm going to slap it in that deck. And I understand Legend Rule, Sakashima of 1,000 Faces is there to get rid of that Legend Rule thing. But yeah, 3-mana clone spell.
I like that this sword in here reminds me of the sword that Cloud uses for Final Fantasy.
The giant sword.
That thick sword.
Mm-hmm.
My next card, though, I didn't have a mythic or a rare here. I grabbed an uncommon Cankerbloom.
Yeah.
So this is a 3/2 Phyrexian fungus for 1 and a green, and it has pay 1. You can sack it, and you choose 1. You can destroy target artifact. You can destroy target artifact or
enchantment.
Or you can proliferate.
Mm-hmm.
So this This added proliferate to caustic caterpillar, which instead of costing two and sacking for one, it costs one and you sack it for two. Mm-hmm. And that only gave you the option to destroy target artifact or enchantment. So if you are running a proliferate sub theme and you already had caustic caterpillar, or honestly, if you're running caustic caterpillar in any deck, because mm-hmm. it's just very good, mm-hmm. these remind me of few spells. All I want is more spells on a single card, and I love choices.
I do believe
choices are so good.
I do believe the number one deck that caustic caterpillar goes in is Marin of Clan Nel'Toth.
And great option.
Being able to proliferate your experience counters if you don't want to destroy an artifact or an enchantment is crazy good.
Yeah. I'm very excited for this. I'm going to put it in Finn the Fang Bear.
I'm rebuilding Marin. Sorry, playgroup.
And any and any green deck that's caring about plus one counters. I used to have
true.
Abzan counters, but it was just generic counters. And now you can proliferate all those.
I mean, there's definitely an argument to like, if there's an actually completely equal spell, then one says proliferate and one doesn't. Even if you run no counter synergy, maybe one of your opponents will have put a -1/-1 counter on another one of your opponent's creatures or an infect counter on their face and you can help kill them. So it might be worth running at the proliferate version of any card that they print.
Yeah, I really like this card. I think it's super useful.
Heck yeah.
Use it. Play it.
All right. They printed another Bitter Blossom, but it's not quite as good as Bitter Blossom. But I think it's better than Shitter Blossom, Dread Return. Not Dread Return, Dreadhorde Invasion.
Dreadhorde Invasion.
Yeah. And it's Skrelv's Hive. So our favorite one white mana legendary.
Our favorite might.
Phyrexian
this might be your favorite.
It might be. Yeah. This is going in a lot of decks of mine, actually. But the token ones. So Skrelv's Hive for one and a white. Get an enchantment that says at the beginning of your upkeep, you lose one life and create a 1/1 colorless Phyrexian Might artifact creature token with Toxic 1, and this creature can't block. It also has that corrupted ability to say as long as an opponent has three or more poison counters, creatures you control with Toxic have lifelink. So that lifelink thing is just icing on the cake, honestly. And if you're not familiar with Bitter Blossom, it's a 1 and a black enchantment that at your upkeep, you lose one life and you get a 1/1 black fairy rogue creature token with flying. It can block and it can swing. So those definitely are upgrades to the 1/1 on the ground that can't block. But the Toxic one is pretty cool. The lifelink, again, icing on the cake. And in a tokens deck where you only care about, you know, creating an extra token, swinging for an extra damage, I mean, sometimes it's really hard to deal with, especially if you get it on turn two.
If you play it in a Mondrak Glory Dominus deck, you get two.
That's true. Every single upkeep. But you should, like, I don't know, maybe play it in a black-white shell and then also play all of your other Bitter Blossom and all those other things.
It has Toxic One. And if you can give creatures just unblockable, that's really great. There's that a Boros Tokens commander that's going to be in one of the mm-hmm. leads of the commander decks that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can put in just red spells that say players can't block, it's like you just get Toxic now.
Oh, yeah.
You just get poison counters.
And then you just proliferate to the wind.
So looking at this artwork, though, I will say Skrelv is, I think he's adorable because I'm looking at him as half a ball of red yarn and not like
not
a
flesh.
Weird flesh body.
Yeah, okay.
And
what about the six rows of teeth that make up his face?
But that's fine. Oh, that's okay. Just teeth. I mean, everybody has teeth. We're cool with
not
that.
Everyone has teeth.
But Skrelv now forever will be half a ball of yarn in my mind.
So one quick thing I did want to talk about. So we had a Bitter Blossom and then Dreadhorde Invasion. We dubbed Shitter Blossom. I would like to call this Skitter Blossom. And I think that's pretty appropriate.
Skitter Blossom is a very good one. I don't do bugs and creepy crawly things.
So, but you do yarn.
But I do yarn and Skrelv's teeth.
Yes.
So Skrelv's teeth are acceptable. there's a lot of combos in the set.
Yeah.
So we picked a few of our favorites. One that I was talking about in the Discord and then didn't even realize it already combos with a card that I have in one of my decks, mm-hmm. and the new card is going into that deck. So I'm looking at Blue Sun's Twilight. So Blue Sun's Twilight is a sorcery for X blue blue. It says gain control of target creature with mana value X or less. If X is 5 or more, you create a token that is a copy of that creature. And so I play a blue-red wizards deck, and conveniently enough, this combos with both Narumeha Master Wizard, and it combos with Dual Caster Mage.
Heck yeah.
So all you have to do is have Blue Sun's Twilight in hand. Narumeha has to either be in hand or the command zone. Same with dual caster mage, mm-hmm. just Narume has mono blue, and then you have to have blue and red in the dual caster mage version. And then you have to have a player that controls a creature mana value 5 or less. And then you pay mana and enough for commander tax if Narume has your commander. So it can be a 2-card combo with Narume.
Oh, yeah.
But essentially, you are going to get infinite enter the battlefield, leave the battlefield, death triggers, and magecraft triggers. So you would cast Blue Sun's Twilight by paying 7. So this is X equals 5, mm-hmm. targeting any creature mana value 5 or less.
Yep.
And then you hold your priority and you cast either Narumeha or your dual caster mage. And then they enter the battlefield and they create a copy of Blue Sun's Twilight, but you target your own creature with it this time. Mm-hmm. So you gain control of it and you make a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just keep going.
And
you just keep going.
And you make another. And
so
another.
If you have ETB effects, if you're mm-hmm. running, you know, any sort of Purphoros like effect,
mm-hmm.
that witty Roastmaster, yeah. it'll
Impact
do it.
Tremors, yeah.
Otherwise, if you make infinite Narumeha, the thing is though, Narumeha is legendary,
yeah.
and it doesn't get around the legend rule, so right. you would have to find a way around that. Dual caster mage though,
you're
go to town.
Go. Yeah.
You're good to keep
it. Doesn't have haste though.
No, but if you have a haste enabler, mm-hmm. but otherwise you just have a bunch of, you have an army,
oh,
and
yeah.
someone has to deal with it. Like with a Rakdos Charm, which is pretty easy.
That's
so
true.
Just run Rakdos Charm,
that's
folks,
true. Yep.
And you easily beat this combo. But I was already talking about adding Blue Sun's Twilight, which is why I didn't put it on the list of cards, because I want to talk about it here.
Sure.
To that Is It Wizard deck. And I'm pretty sure I'm running Narumeha and Dual Caster Mage. But
okay.
if not Dual Caster, I know Narumeha's in there, because sometimes those wizards are just little tutus.
Yeah.
And after they've like done their thing, they just kind of sit there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can give wizards, you know, the legend rule doesn't matter, and then make a bunch of Narumehas, that's a lord. Wizards
oh, yeah.
get +1/+1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make it happen.
Oh, and on top of that, I imagine you can, you know, if you need to, double your fireball, kill two people with that too.
Oops.
Oops.
Fireball for 50. Now it's 100.
Oops, you're dead. All right. So I have a game-winning combo here using a brand new card called Venerated Rot Priest. For 1 green, you get a Phyrexian Druid 1/2 with Toxic 1. It says, whenever a creature you control becomes the target of a spell, target opponent gets a poison counter. Can you guess where this is going? We're going to target Venerated Rot Priest 30 times with a spell and kill 3 of our opponents. Or 40 times if we have 4 opponents. This actually isn't limited. Using cards like, not cards like, using the specific cards, Jhin Illuminatus for 5 hybrid red-blue, hybrid red-blue. You get a 3/5 Jhin with flying. It says each instant and sorcery spell you cast has replicate. The replicate cost is equal to its mana cost.
Didn't think we'd see a replicate
no.
combo here.
And replicate says when you cast it, copy it for each time you paid its replicate cost, and you may choose new targets for the copy. So you can pay the spell's cost any number of times and copy it that many times. So we're going to choose a zero-cost spell called Slaughter Pact. It's an instant, cost 0. It is technically black. It says destroy target non-black creature. At the beginning of your next upkeep, pay 2 and a black. If you don't, you lose the game. But lucky for us, we're not going to have a next upkeep. We're going to kill everyone right away. So in order to start the combo, you need to have your 2 creatures on the battlefield and have Slaughter Pact in hand. And that's it. You need 0 mana to start this combo. What you're going to do is you are going to cast Slaughter Pact targeting either of your creatures. Or if you have other creatures that are maybe more well protected, you can target those creatures instead. Because as long as it's a creature you control that becomes a target of a spell, one of your opponents is going to get a poison counter. You're going to replicate your Slaughter Pact targeting your creature the number of times equal to the number of opponents you have times 10. So you have 6 opponents, you're going to do it 60 times.
3 opponents, 30 times.
That's right. You could also do it just like a billion times, and then the game will end before all of your triggers happen due to state-based effects. But what that's going to do is every time you target one of your creatures, a trigger is going to go on the stack that's going to allow you to put a poison counter on one of your opponents. And then you do that 10 to each opponent, and they all lose. And you win.
Yeah. This is cool.
Yeah. It does require a lot of colors. It's four color combo.
So it's a 4 color combo. So you can, you know, if you're running Yidris,
mm-hmm.
maybe you want it there.
Sure.
Or a Vile Smasher and Thrasios.
Mm-hmm.
Or Kram and Ikra Shadiki.
Yeah, I mean, Jin Illuminatus being a 7-mana creature kind of sucks, but if you could cheat it out somehow, go for it.
I mean, it kind of works in decks where you want to cast extra spells, so maybe Idris is that deck.
True.
I'm not sure, but we have a nice little 2-card combo next.
This is very cool.
Yeah, so this is with Kaya, Intangible Slayer, and Felidar Guardian. So Kaya is our new planeswalker. 7-mana planeswalker, 3WW, BBB.
It's a lot.
Planeswalker has hexproof though, so that's kind of cool. +2, each opponent loses 3 life, you gain 3 life.
Mm-hmm.
0, you draw 2 cards, and then each opponent may scry 1.
Mm-hmm.
I actually kind of think that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
And then -1, exile target creature or enchantment. If it wasn't an aura, create a token that's a copy, except it's a 1/1 white spirit creature with flying in addition to its other types.
Spirit with flying.
And Felidar Guardian, if you're not familiar, is a 1/4 cat beast for 3 and a white, and it says when it enters the battlefield, you may exile another target permanent you control, then return it to the battlefield. So essentially you just have to have 4 loyalty counters on it, because you're gonna activate Kaya's -3. So you are going to exile the Felidar Guardian and create a copy, but it's just a 1/1 spirit with flying. And then the Felidar token enters the battlefield, which is going to exile Kaya. It's going to reset Kaya, essentially. And you're just going to keep going. And you're making infinite enter the battlefield and leave the battlefield trigger. So it doesn't work alone, but you need something that cares when a creature leaves. They're not dying because you're exiling them, so like a Bastion of Remembrance does not really work here.
Sure.
Blood Artist doesn't work, Zulaport Cutthroat doesn't work, but there's definitely options.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking for things in 2 colors, and this the year of 2-color and 1-color decks for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have an Orzhov deck that I like.
Oh, so
maybe I find this a home in a new Orzhov deck?
Okay, so like with Chain Veil, actually, this wins. You activate it, all your planeswalkers can activate twice per turn. You do the 3 damage, then you do the blink. You do the 3 damage, then you do the blink.
3-card combo. Somebody go submit that to Commander Spellbook in their Discord. Get the contributor badge. Go for it. So we just figured it out. Well, you also have to have 4 mana for the... You have to have a little bit of mana, too. You have to have a little bit of mana, because the Chain Veil has to be out, and you have to have 4 mana available then.
Yeah.
In addition to this combo.
You just cast Kaya for 7. I hope you have 4 mana to spare at that point. It's a very high-cost planeswalker.
Yeah, but
it's
maybe so you played Sol Ring and Signet and Rock on your first two turns, and now you're going to Kaya so fast.
Primeval's Glorious Rise cheated out of your graveyard. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing it. That's for sure. All right, another 3-card, make your opponents lose the game at their upkeep combo
in
here.
In Esper.
Wow. A brand new card in this is Archfiend of the Dross, a 2BBB Phyrexian Demon 6/6 with flying that says, Archfiend of the Dross enters the battlefield with 4 oil counters on it. At the beginning of your upkeep, remove an oil counter from Archfiend of the Dross. Then if it has no oil counters on it, you lose the game. Whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, its controller loses 2 life. We don't care about that last piece of text. We're going to take that negative of losing the game, and we're going to give it to our opponents.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because that's bad. That's a bad plan for you. Just lose the game.
That's right. But we're not going to simply just give our opponents 6/6s that are going to take 4 turns. But with Fractured Identity, we are going to give our opponents an Archfiend of the Dross. This is a 5-mana sorcery, 3WW. It says exile target non-land permanent. Each player other than its controller creates a token that's a copy of it. But right before we do that, we're going to resolve an enchantment called Solemnity. For 2 and a white, it says players can't get counters, and counters can't be put on artifacts, creatures, enchantments, or lands.
So you just need to talk about Amonkhet. Fine. I see why this combo got put onto here.
It's awesome. I mean, I've been trying to shove Solemnity in so many of my commander decks that aren't Phyrexian Unlife Xur, just to see if I can make it work. I've been putting it in Undying decks, but man, this, if I have, I have a few Esper decks, I can just shove this in and see what happens. But so what you're going to do, you can choose to have Solemnity out before Archfiend comes out, as long as you have enough mana to do it all on your turn. But you can cast Solemnity, cast Archfiend of the Dross, it'll come in with 0 counters, and then Fracture Identity it to give it to all your opponents. But the important part is that before you Fracture Identity the Archfiend, you have the Solemnity out on the battlefield. If you have an opponent that can sacrifice a creature at instant speed, they will be able to get around it. But, you know, killing 2 people is probably better than killing 0. So do it up.
do it up. So there's one more that I did want to talk about, Phyrexian Vindicator. It's a card that the combo was kind of discussed a lot on Twitter recently, but Phyrexian Vindicator is a 5/5 flying Phyrexian Horror that says if damage would be dealt to it, prevent it. And then that damage that's prevented is dealt to any other target. Mm-hmm. So it's a 5/5 flyer for white.
A lot of white.
But if you add the enchantment, it's an aura, guilty conscience to it, you just win. So it says whenever enchanted creature deals damage, guilty conscience deals that much damage to the enchanted creature. So you prevent the damage and you deal it. And when you deal the damage, that damage is dealt to the creature, which mm-hmm. is prevented and then dealt. So all you have to do is have Phyrexian Vindicator with guilty conscience on it.
Okay.
And then have damage dealt to Phyrexian Vindicator in mm-hmm. any way.
Nice.
Swinging, blocking, mm-hmm. lightning bolting, electricity.
Nice.
Just one damage.
Does this work the same way as like Brash Taunter and all that kind of stuff too? That when it takes damage, it deals damage to any target? Maybe it's worded slightly differently, but it's also in red, so it's not in a mono white, which would be nice. We also have some redundancies for some combos. We have Elesh Norn, Mother of Machines, that are doubling Enter the Battlefield triggers. So any combo that you currently have with cards like Panharmonicon that are already doubling your Enter the Battlefield triggers, you now have another thing as long as you're in white.
Yes, and Mondrak Glory Dominus, which we've talked about for a bit here, is redundancy for Anointed Procession. So as long as you stay in that same color combo and you've got something going on with Anointed Procession, you can just replace it with Mondrak. But the price, I think, is going to be about similar. So yeah. I don't think it's going to be a more affordable option here.
And then also Drivnod, Carnage Dominus, a legendary creature, 3/3 Phyrexian Horror, 8/3. Says if a creature dying causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time. Also has a clause to make it indestructible with 2 Phyrexian Black to exile 3 creature cards from your graveyard in order to do that. So this is going to also be redundancy for Tesa Karlov combos, which there are a few that include white, but a lot of them actually are mono black with reassembling skeletons. So you should be able to build a pretty good deck with this at the helm or in the 99.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Commanders. Commanders,
oh, yeah.
We build.
You want me to go first?
What are you going to build?
Okay.
What are you thinking about?
Okay, so there are so many decks that are getting cards from this set, from the commander decks, from the set booster exclusives, from the standard set. I'm actually like way more excited to upgrade 5 decks that I have with all these cards. So if I'm going to build a deck, it's going to be one of those, I want to do the thing and see if I can win. And that's going to be Unctus Grand Metatect. This is a mono blue deck, and Unctus for 1 blue-blue, you get a legendary artifact creature, Phyrexian Vedalken, 2/4. This is other blue creatures you control have, whenever this creature becomes tapped, draw a card, then discard a card. Also has other artifact creatures you control get +1/+1 and pay a Phyrexian blue until end of turn. Target creature you control becomes a blue artifact in addition to its other colors and types. Activate only as a sorcery, but I really only care about that very first ability because it goes infinite with a card, Aphedo Alchemist. So here, another infinite combo for you. For 1 and a blue, Aphedo Alchemist is a 1/2 wizard that you can tap to untap target artifact or creature. It does not say another artifact or creature, so Aphedo Alchemist can untap itself. Tidewater Minion, a 3/3 elemental, also has an ability to tap it to untap target permanent. So with those two cards and Unctus on the battlefield, I'll be able to loot my entire deck, maybe get a couple free mana spells that like 0 mana artifacts.
You get to sculpt your hand, which is really cool, right? Because mm-hmm. if you think you might go for the win, maybe you have a counter spell, or maybe mm-hmm. you need to find the card to go for the win. So like, well, I'm just going to loot until I loot.
Absolutely.
And maybe this is one of those decks where you also just for good measure, because mm-hmm. somebody might find, you know, you throw in one of the OG Eldrazis that can shuffle your library back.
That's a good idea.
You know,
There is a plus side. There's like, if you are familiar with Demonic Consultation, Thassa's Oracle combo, it exiles your library. And then Thassa's Oracle, if you have less cards than your devotion or equal to, you'll win the game with its Enter the Battlefield trigger. But you can't really win in Demonic Consultation decks with like something like Laboratory Maniac. This is if you were to draw a card from an empty deck, you instead win the game. Unctus can do that, so you have more game-winning options in case someone counters your Thassa Oracle ETB trigger. I know this is very like high-power thinking stuff, but if you have like a competitive, maybe not, I'm not sure about CEDH. I'm not a CEDH expert or anything. It's mono blue. You get counter spells. It's probably okay.
It's probably okay, right? Yeah. That's what we know.
And it's a 2-card combo with one of the cards in your command zone.
With the silly wizard that's just gonna tap and untap itself.
Absolutely. So maybe there's something to it. And I want to do it once and then probably take it away. Maybe it'll be a Moxfield brew.
Speaking of Moxfield brews, I am going to be on a stream in a couple of weeks that is a budget stream. So it's going to be specifically $50 decks. Mm-hmm. And I haven't built like a true $50 budget deck in quite a while.
Since our very first streamed game ever.
Yeah.
Extra Life, 5-person.
No, well, we did that, but I've been on the Scrap Collars a few times and we had some budget decks. One of the cards that calls out to me just because it has some cool words on it,
mm-hmm.
The words being draw cards.
Oh, yeah. Those are cool words.
I love them.
Yeah.
Is Azuri, Stalker of Spheres, mm-hmm. which, by the way, I thought Azuri was from Ravnica all this time. And I was like, when this card was previewed, I go, why is he here?
Mm.
That's the next set. The aftermath or whatever, when you see a bunch of... You see a bunch of stuff from other planes. I just assumed Azuri was from Ravnica. So that was on me.
Okay.
But Azuri is a 3/3 Phyrexian Elf Warrior for 4 mana, 2 green and blue. That's a very good commander mana cost. Solid 4 mana.
Aedrix and Nev.
2 color.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And it says when it enters the battlefield, you may pay 3 generic mana. If you do, you proliferate twice, which reminds me a lot of like Roalesque, which that's on a die trigger, you proliferate. Anyway, it says whenever you proliferate, you draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
So my idea here was to put together a $50 Azuri Stalker of Spheres Super Friends deck that mm-hmm. uses the budget Simic Planeswalkers with all of the, I guess, old proliferate cards, and we got a ton of new proliferate in the set that we didn't talk about. I managed to get the brew to be $51.23, and I'm having an extremely tough time figuring out what to cut, but I have 21 planeswalkers, which is amazing mm-hmm. for it being a $50 budget.
Agreed.
But I didn't realize just how many of these planeswalkers are so affordable. Cards that I run Tamiyo, Collector of Tales, 40 cents.
Okay.
I didn't realize that she was so affordable, but I did prioritize a lot of the planeswalkers that make like a creature.
Sure.
So I need the ones, I need beasts, I need spirits. I need to win
birds
somehow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have a specific win con. This is just, I have all these planeswalkers sitting around here that don't go in anything.
Sure.
And if I have them and I don't have to actually spend any money to build this $50 deck,
mm-hmm.
that's even better.
Yeah, why not?
So I'm excited to try this out. I was able to add cards like Deep Glow Skate. So I mean, like, you can actually do things in $50.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from Azuri Stalker of Spheres, the only other commander that really worked with Simic Planeswalkers was Roalesque.
Yeah.
Unless you built like a 5-color deck and you just played Simic though, because you wanted something else as your commander.
Very true.
But I like this as a potential devoted proliferate deck.
Yeah.
And then just all the creatures that have like when a land enters your proliferate or when it enters proliferate, sack a creature proliferate. Pretty excited to play this out. I wonder how this would do in a regular game, because I feel like you'd go under the radar when you cast, you know, a nothing when you're like, hey, look at this.
Uncommon Arlan Cord.
Yeah, exactly. The uncommon Arlan Cord, or you play Kasmina Enigma Sage, which has Scry 1. You make a blue fractal for minus X.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know, and she only has 2 loyalty when she enters.
Mm-hmm.
And then -8, search for an instant or sorcery that shares a color with this planeswalker. You know, like when you cast these, I feel like people are going to go, oh, I have not seen anybody use this card before.
Let's let it live for a turn. And then you ultimate and you're like, aha, gotcha.
Yeah, Kasmina at 2, Deep Glow Skate to 4.
Yeah. Just proliferate a couple times first.
I guess Kasmina at 2, up 2 to Scry 1, then Deep Glow Skate to 8.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Definitely.
I'm pretty excited. This set, like I said earlier, has a lot more going on in it than I was hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
Story-wise, super impressed.
Yeah.
Very excited. Unfortunately, preview season was kind of a hot mess.
Yeah.
The last time, my understanding, and we didn't play the last time we were on, like, Mirrodin and Phyrexia and stuff. Right. My answer is there's always been a mess. They were like, what is it with this plane? But like, there was a huge leak at one point for a previous, you know, Phyrexia set. And it felt like all the rares and mythics were leaked, but it turns out a lot of them were just in packs from the Dominaria remastered. So a lot of them were just posted online. Then there were true leaks that made it onto Reddit. And then, but the set is actually previewed now. So we are excited to see this. I think I'm doing singles this set. I'm preaching. I'm actually, you know, practicing what I preach this time, because there's a lot of singles I need. But I'm gonna go to the LGS, I think, and draft this set. This one, I kind of really want to draft it.
I mean, I'm of the opinion of, hey, am I looking for that $45 mythic? Maybe I'll just crack a box and cross my fingers.
Well, we're excited for the set. And that's gonna be it for this week. So if you would like to chat with us more, I'm on Twitter at Andy Flory.
And I'm on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine. And this isn't the last. We're still going to be here next week. So come on back.
Two more weeks.
And we're here next week, too. I'll remind you next week. Don't worry about it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.